Good evening and welcome to Take Aim. My name is Denny Wilson and I'm the preacher for the Parkview Church of Christ in Odessa, Texas. If you happen to be coming through our area or if you're moving to our area and you're looking for a church home, we'd love to help you. We'd love to meet you, worship with you, and serve God together. We are located on the corner of Park Boulevard and West County Road in Odessa, Texas, 1700 Park Boulevard. Please come by and let me know if I can help you in any way. If you're looking for a church home in your part of the world, or you're looking with someone to study the Bible with, let me know and I'll be glad to help you find someone in your area, or I'll help you any way that I can. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. That's roydw3@aol.com. We're glad that you're here tonight. We're going to be studying a new subject matter for a few weeks. We're going to be studying the book of Philippians. Get your Bible ready, take out your notebook and your pencil, and follow along. I know you'll be edified. Paul says in verse 10, that I may know Him. I want to know Christ. If we can't say that this morning, something is missing in our lives. Something is wrong in our hearts, and we need to make a course correction, and we need to do it right away. We ought to want to know Christ and know Him more fully. In this discussion, we might look at Paul and say, but Paul, you already know Christ. You know Him better than we do. You've met Him personally. You talked to Him. You were taught by Him. Certainly He knows Christ. In fact, He knows Him better than we do. And we see His attitude in Galatians 2 and verse 20. He says, I've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. He knew Christ. He had lived his life for Christ. But he says, I want to know Him more. I want to know Him more fully. I need to know Him more deeply. And brethren, we ought to have the same desire. Knowing Christ is not something that should be superficial. It shouldn't be small. You know, a lot of times in life, people get together. They come together. One of them's wearing a suit. The other one's wearing a white dress. And they stand in front of a preacher. And they say, until death do us part. And they become husband and wife. They may have been dating for weeks or months or years. They think they know each other. But those of us who are married in this room know they didn't know one thing about each other. Things are going to change. Paul was a Christian. Paul was a preacher of the gospel. Paul had helped many people. He's even in prison at this time. He's done many wonderful things for the cause of Christ and for the church. And yet he says, I need to know Him more. I need to know Him more deeply. And then he gives us three ways in which that relationship and that understanding can grow. He starts off saying, I want to know the power of His resurrection. I want to know about His rising. The whole Christian system is based upon this fact. Not just that Christ died, but that He was raised. He was raised the third day. That is the key element in this whole discussion. He was raised from the dead by the power of God, and we want to know more about that. 1 Corinthians 15, 14, 15, and 16, and even verse 17 tell us all about that. Romans chapter 6, verse 3 through 5 tells us that that is part of the plan of salvation for us, in that Christ died, was buried, and rose again the third day. We die to our sins. We're buried into His death in baptism, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. Verse 5 says, if we died like Him, we shall be raised like Him. We want to go to heaven. We want to be with the Lord, but we need to know the power of His resurrection. It's a prominent theme in the New Testament. All the apostles, the inspired writers of God, all talked about the resurrection of Christ, beginning in Acts chapter 2, with that great sermon that was declared, this Jesus whom you have crucified, the Father has made Him both Lord and Christ. He's been raised. He's sitting on David's throne at the right hand of the throne of God. He is King of this world. Christ Jesus was raised. When we understand the power of the resurrection, it ought to change our lives forever. We ought to be different. It ought to make us think differently and act differently and believe differently. You see, we're no longer living to self.
we're living for Christ. It's a life where we're not focused on our own wants and our own wishes. We're thinking about Him. And we're thinking about the needs of others. As we studied from Philippians chapter 2, we now put the needs of our brethren above our own. We consider their best interests over our own personal interests. It's about love for God and love for Christ and love for His brethren, as we're studying in 1 John. So Paul was the last man on earth to see Jesus. I don't know if you ever think about that. But he was one born out of due time. He saw Christ at the end when everybody else had already seen Him raised. He came back. He taught Paul. Paul was taught individually by Christ. He saw Him. He saw Him on the road to Damascus. He discussed these things with Him. He grew. He knew Christ. He's the last one to see Him. And certainly, Paul's life was changed. We've been studying that earlier in this passage, in this chapter, in the last few lessons. He was once a man of power in the sect of the Pharisees and in the government, taking letters from the high priest with the authority of the Roman government to throw people out of their homes, to have people executed. He consented to the death of Stephen. This man, his life is completely changed. What does he do? Immediately after being healed, we're told that almost instantly he goes and begins preaching the gospel that he once had persecuted, telling people about the power of Christ and His rising. He knew that we can grow in the strength and the power of Christ when we understand what He did. That's why he's going to say later in our study, in chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. He's talking about no matter what had happened to him, even though he's in prison at the time, no longer a free man, no matter how much he suffered, he can keep on being faithful. No matter how difficult life may be, he can overcome. He's known how to abound. He's known how to be abased. He said he knew these things, and yet he knew he had strength from Christ. At the end of his life, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, in the closing verses, he said all had forsaken him, but not Christ. He said the Lord was with him, and the Lord would deliver him. When we think about the power of the resurrection of Christ, it gives us hope and strength that should change our lives. Paul's life changed dramatically. Today we do people a big disservice when we show them the gospel of Christ and we tell them that they can stay in the same life that they have and they can still have all the same characteristics that they once had. But we need to remind them that before Christ they were lost and apart from God and without hope. But when they become a Christian, being washed in the blood of the Lamb by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, are being raised into walking in newness of life, our life must be changed. That's the power of the resurrection. Albert Barnes, while not a Christian, he has several commentaries. And one of the statements that he made about this is pertinent, and I thought I'd share it today. He says this, there is no one truth that will have greater power over us when we properly believe than the truth that Christ has risen from the dead. If we're not changed by that fact, that He is deity, that He is the Son of God, that He gave Himself for us, that He paid the debt of sin, and now I can be a part of His family. If that doesn't change our life, nothing will. We ought to be motivated to know Christ. We need to know the power of His resurrection. Secondly, Paul says he wanted to know the fellowship of His sufferings. I don't think anybody in the world wants that today, but let's talk about it. First off, let's talk about the word fellowship. The word fellowship, koinonia, means to have joint participation. We share, we participate in. It's the same word that's used for communion, when we share in commemorating the Lord's death until He comes. When we think about that body that was bruised and torn and destroyed physically by beating and abuse and crucifixion on the tree. Then we partake of that blood, that fruit of the vine, that blood that was shed from His hands, from His feet, from His side, from His head, from His nose and lips, from His back, every part of His body, that blood was being shed. And as we think about all that Christ endured on the cross, it ought to help us to be more faithful. It's not just an indication that we don't really know God unless we suffer. It's that we don't fully know Christ until we have understood what he did for us. Now, Paul had suffered. Paul is writing from prison. He's suffered immensely. There's no doubt about that. There's many things that we can look at throughout the writings of Paul, these 13 letters, and we see his suffering. He would say that I bear the marks of the Lord Jesus in his body, Galatians 6 and verse 17. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verses 7 through 11, he discusses that kind of mindset. He says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God, and it may be in the power of God and not in us, we are hard pressed on every side. Notice the destruction and persecution and suffering. We're hard pressed on every side. We're not crushed. We are perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Carrying always about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. Meaning they always had bruises and cuts and tears and whip marks on their bodies from serving Christ. They always had them. And the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Now, I don't think anybody really wants to say those words today. I don't think most people want to suffer today. In fact, we've been through a time of peace the world has never known. This country has been blessed beyond any other nation in the history of the world. We're the richest people who've ever lived. And the last thing we want is suffering. The last thing we want is some struggle. But Paul says death is working in them. Why? So that others may live. What does that mean? They kept on preaching the truth of God. This truth, this faith is in earthen vessels. It's not about Paul. It's about Christ and him crucified. And they kept on preaching no matter what man did to them. They stood up for the truth no matter what their friends thought. Today, people won't tell the truth even when they're discussing things with their closest friends and family, because they're afraid of what someone might say about them. I know we've talked about it many, many times, but I'm going to say it again. We had that little nursery rhyme growing up that says, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Brethren, words hurt you more than a stick and stone ever will. And that's why so many people are cowards. They got a yellow streak up their back. They may act tough. They don't want to talk about Jesus. And when your friend posts something about abortion and human rights, and it's a woman's right, and it's her body, we're afraid to stand up and say, no, that's murder. That's sin. You have no right to do that. You don't have a choice over that child's life. That child's been created in the image of God. We're afraid to do that because all of that person's friends and all of our friends might think evil of us. Words hurt. But Paul wasn't just getting the attack by the words. He was getting the physical abuse. He was suffering for Christ. And yet he says he wants to know these kinds of things more. He wants to know them more fully. You know, we only see typically the negative side of suffering. Oh, that hurt. Oh, that kept me from doing this. You don't need to be silly and go out and cause trouble for the sake of causing trouble. But if somebody asks you a question and they want to know about Christ, you better tell them the truth, folks. Because there's somebody who's going to judge us in the last day from that passage that Eugene read for us. We have to be right before Christ. We need to understand there's a good side to suffering. In fact, in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 22, Paul encouraging Timothy, he tells him, if we endure, we shall also reign with him. We get to go to heaven and be with the Lord. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10, to a group of people who are going to be executed for their faith in Christ Jesus by the Roman government, the writer there, John, the disciple of love, says, you be faithful unto death and you'll receive the crown of life. Not someday if you might die of old age. That's not what he's saying. He's saying when they come to your house and they put the knife to your son's throat and they say, you renounce Jesus Christ and you pledge your allegiance to Caesar, you be faithful. When they string you up and stretch you out and rip your arms and legs off, you be faithful. When they set you on a post and light you on fire to light the garden of the emperor, you be faithful. When they feed you to lions, you be faithful. When they stone you like Stephen, you be faithful. When they cut your head off like James, Or like Paul, you be faithful. We're afraid of words, folks. We need to understand. We need to be faithful in the gospel in order to go to heaven. That's why Paul would say in 2 Timothy 4, verse 6 through 8, he had been poured out like a drink offering. He's been sacrificed, and he has. And he says, the time of his departure was at hand. He had fought the good fight. He's finished the race. He's kept the faith. But he says, if we'll do those things, we get to go to heaven and be with the Lord. We get the crown of righteousness. It's available to all who love the appearing of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Do we love him? Then we need to know the power and the fellowship of his suffering. Jesus suffered much at the hands of his own creation, and it's brutal. But today, as Christians, we sometimes think it's an inconvenience for us to even do what he's asked us to do, to worship God, to come together for Bible study, to tell our friends and family about Christ. That's just too much to ask. Folks, we need to be a people who understand we must be faithful even in the face of suffering. We've got to put out the effort. Paul wasn't afraid. He was different. In fact, he loved Christ and he loved the church. He loved people so much that if you go and read 2 Corinthians 11, verse 21 through 28, you see a listing of many ways in which he suffered over and over and over and over again at the hands of his own countrymen and at the hands of the government. But he said he did it all because of his love for the church. One of the reasons why we don't endure suffering, why we don't go through persecution, why we don't stand up and tell people the truth is because our love isn't where it needs to be. If you really love God, then what someone else may say or do doesn't matter. If you love Christ, it doesn't matter what your boss thinks, or your neighbor thinks, or the government thinks, or what all the news agencies think. Who cares what the government thinks? If you love Christ, it's the most important thing in your life, even if you have to suffer. In fact, you'll do it willingly and joyfully because Christ is number one in your life. You see, that's what Paul is trying to teach us here. We need to understand the power of his resurrection. We need to understand the fellowship of his suffering. And there's no doubt, folks, this country is coming to a time when we're going to see some more suffering for the Christian. You can see it in the way people are behaving. You can see it in the actions of so many. You can see it in the political climate. You can see it in the moral climate. You can see it in the social climate. You can see it in the corporate world. This world is changing, and it's changing quickly. Brethren, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This church has not changed. It is still built upon the foundation of Christ, and we better not compromise the truth. No matter what happens around us, we have to be faithful if we want that crown of righteousness. We need to remember, we do not belong to ourselves. We've been bought at a price, that price being the blood of Christ. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 and 20. We're not our own. We belong to him. Do what he's asked us to do. We need a fellowship in the suffering of Christ. Number three, Paul says that he wants to know Christ more fully. He wants to be one who enjoys this beauty of knowing Christ more fully and the pleasure and fellowship of suffering for him and then being conformed to his death. And whoa, stop. I kind of get it on suffering. I really do understand about knowing Christ. But now you're telling me I have to die? I need to be conformed to his death? Yes, if you're not faithful unto death, you don't get to go to heaven and be with the Lord. We have to keep on keeping on. In this same letter, going back to Philippians chapter 1, verses 20 and following, notice what he says here. He says, according to my earnest expectation and hope, I expect it and I hope it. That's what he's saying. That in nothing shall I be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. Next verse. For to me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Next verse. Notice what he says here. But if I live on in the flesh, that means fruit from my labor. I get to keep on working for Christ. Yet what shall I choose? I do not know. For I'm hard pressed between the two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is very far better. What'd he say? He said to die is better. To die for the cause of Christ and go to heaven is better. To get the reward, the victory in Jesus is better. See, we're not willing to suffer sometimes because we think maintaining status quo in our home, our finances, our friendships, society, whatever a position we might have in government or some social club is better. Paul says, I count all that as loss. It's all garbage. It's all on the dung heap that I might gain Christ. It's very far better to live for Christ and to give my life for Him, to be faithful unto death, to receive the crown of life. To live is to bring glory and service to God. To die is to bring glory to God. But it's better to be with the Lord. Shouldn't we want to be like Paul? I know I've mentioned it almost every single lesson in Philippians. He said in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 1, imitate me as I also imitate Christ. What did Paul do? He was faithful unto death, even though he faced year after year after year after year of punishment, persecution, imprisonment, and ultimately being beheaded for the cause of Christ. What did Christ do? He suffered at the hands of his own creation. The Creator, destroyed by the creation. They beat him. They spit upon him. They jerked his hair out. They sucker punched him. Then they took him and they crucified him. They mocked him. They drove that crown of thorns on his head. They killed him. What did Jesus do? He was faithful until death. He was obedient to the Father. Hebrews 5, 7 through 9 tells us that he learned obedience through the things that he suffered, meaning he had to be faithful too. And he suffered, and he became the author of eternal salvation to everyone who obeys him. What does that mean, obey him? It means like Paul, like Jesus, I have to be faithful until death. No matter what it costs me to be a child of God, I have to stand for Him. Don't you want to be like Him? Oh, when we're thinking about the letters He wrote and the love He had, yeah, we want to be like Him. What a great relationship He had with Philippi. Do you really want to be like Him? Oh, Jesus was a great man. He said some of the most beautiful things. He also said some of the most difficult things, and people fled from him. He even asked his disciple, will you also depart? To which Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of everlasting life. John 6 and verse 68. That same Peter would deny him three times, but they would meet again. And he would be challenged by the Lord to go and preach the gospel. He said, do you love me? Peter said, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Do you love me, Peter? Yes, yes, Lord, you know I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. And it was explained that he would die. Peter was killed for the cause of Christ. He was crucified. Tradition says upside down. We don't know that for a fact, but he was crucified. He was killed for the cause of Christ. Listen, when we talk about wanting to be like the people of the Bible, you do understand what these people did, right? They conformed to the death of Christ. They died for the cause of Christ. They were faithful no matter what it cost them. In Acts 11, 20, 13, Paul said, I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. He wouldn't. He would be sent through a series of trials before governors and kings and ultimately the emperor, set free, rearrested, goes to another trial, and then is beheaded. But he was willing from the very beginning to do what was right no matter what it cost him. Paul suffered for the cause of Christ. He was ready to give his life. He even longed for it so that he could get the power of the resurrection. That brings us to verse 11, and then the lesson will be yours. In verse 11, he says, if by any means I may attain the resurrection of the dead. Paul's second grand aim is to attain the resurrection. He wanted to go to heaven. He was looking forward to be united with Christ, if by any means, he says. Now, that doesn't mean he has doubt. That doesn't mean that he's confused. It means that he has humility. He has an honest hope. He understood. But Paul also understood his own weaknesses. He knew. We talked about 1 Corinthians 9, verse 23 and following through verse 27, how he said he had to buffet his own body so that he wouldn't preach to others the truth that would save, but then himself be cast away. He knew he had to work on his own life, and we all must. But he knew that the power was not in him. He wasn't going to be perfect. He was going to make mistakes. But he knew his trust is in Christ Jesus. He also knew that there was power in faithfulness for God. There's power in the resurrection of the Lord. There's power in being changed by that resurrection. There's power in living for Christ. There's power in being a servant who's willing to go to the same end as Christ. That is, to even be conformed to his death. He knew that he needed to know God. He knew he had to be faithful. He challenges us to the same thing. He tells us that we're all going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 50. You get down to verse 57, he tells us we have victory through Christ. And verse 8, he says, therefore, you be faithful. Here's what he says. You be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You keep on working, and victory will be yours, no matter what it costs you. But if you think you're getting in for free, you're on the wrong path. You've got to keep working. You've got to be faithful. We can overcome. All men will be raised in the judgment. John 5, verse 28 and 29. Those who have done well to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 17. That trumpet will sound, the voice will be heard, all men will be gathered. The very next book, 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 6 through 9, says that in addition to the group that goes to meet the Lord in the air, who are delivered to the Father, and thus shall we ever be with the Lord, that second group of people, those who do not know or obey the Lord, are going to be facing eternal fire. Folks, that judgment is going to come. The resurrection for all men is going to come. Paul says, I want to know Christ more fully. And when I do that, as I live my life, as I serve him, I can be raised from my death to eternal life. I want to know Christ, the power of his rising, the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. So not only would I know him, so that I might be raised like him too.
I'm thankful that you were here with us tonight, and I invite you to come back next week on Thursday night at 7 o'clock as we continue this study of the book of Philippians. We appreciate you being with us tonight. We invite you to always give us a call or send me an email if you have questions. We want to help you any way that we can. This is Denny Wilson. My email address is roydw3@aol.com. Thank you so much for listening to Take Aim.